This podcast includes information provided by the issuer and does not express the views of the interviewer. This podcast may also include forward-looking statements by the issuer that involve certain risks and uncertainties to its business. Because forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, the issuer's actual results could differ from those indicated in this podcast. Welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you all so much for the support and for tuning in to the Planet Microcap Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Bobby K. Kraft. That's B-O-B-B-Y-K-K-R-A-F-T. You are listening to episode 9 of the Planet Microcap Podcast. Now, before we get started with our next interview on the Planet Microcap Podcast, I wanted to catch you up on what we featured on StockNewsNow.com recently. We featured articles highlighting video interviews with the following companies: LeMico Metals Inc., LMR on the TSX Venture, and LMRMF on the OTCQX, New Zulu Limited, NWZ on the ASX, Pure Bioscience Inc., PURE on the OTCQB, GLG Pharma LLC, a private company, VBI Vaccines Inc., VBIV on the NASDAQ, Biocept Inc., BIOC on the NASDAQ, Aldridge Minerals Inc., AGM on the TSX Venture, Combi Matrix Corporation, CBMX on the NASDAQ, Pull Matrix Inc., PULM on the NASDAQ, Rare Element Resources, REE on the NYSE market, and RES on the TSX, and Delcath Systems Inc., DCTH on the NASDAQ. We also published an SNN Q&A with Accru Inc., AKR on the TSX Venture, and an SNN Q&A audio-only interview with NXTID Inc., NXTD on the NASDAQ, as well as articles written by Charles Payne and David Weald from the Microcap Review Magazine Summer Fall 2015 issue titled, Where Are the Unicorns for Small Investors? An interview with David Weald IV, Are New Exchanges That Favor Microcap Issuers on the Horizon? For this episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast, I wanted to learn more about the importance of different communications tools that microcap companies use on a regular basis. There's many communications tools that microcap companies use to communicate their stories. Some are required, some are not. But if you've ever done research on a public company and looked at the company's news feed on Yahoo Finance or StockNewsNow.com, you've probably read one of the following: a press release, an SEC filing, XBRL filing, or an Edgar or Cedar filing. These are tools that public companies use to communicate their corporate messages. I want to understand these tools a little better because besides when management talks to media like us at StockNewsNow.com, it's these documents that will help you and I know what a company is currently up to. And when it comes to microcap stocks, transparency and information is incredibly valuable. To help me with this task, I spoke with Bradley Smith, Director of Marketing, Investor Relations, and Regulatory Compliance Services for PR Newswire and Vintage Group, a global provider of corporate communications tools and services enabling marketers to distribute press releases, SEC filings, Edgar filings, XBRL, and more. The goal for this episode is for us to learn more about the importance of communications tools for public companies, specifically microcap companies. Why, as investors, we need to have a clear understanding of why companies publish each type of document, and most importantly, where to find them. Thank you again for tuning in to episode 9 of the Planet Microcap Podcast. I hope you enjoy my interview with Bradley Smith from PR Newswire and Vintage Group. But first, a word from our sponsor.
A comprehensive streaming of market data, research, and portfolio management application for you. QuoteStream is a real-time streaming quotes and research system. Designed for the day trader, retail investor, institutional investor, both new and old, QuoteStream offers low latency, tick-by-tick data, advanced charting, comprehensive technical analysis, news, and research. With no software to install and no servers to maintain, QuoteStream is the ideal solution for you. Go to StockNewsNow.com and start your free 7-day trial. Click the QuoteStream banner in the header or real-time quotes in the nav bar to get started building and managing your investments.
In this episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast, I spoke with Bradley Smith. He's the Director of Marketing, Investor Relations, and Regulatory Compliance Services for PR Newswire and the Vintage Group, And our topic today is discussing the importance of communications tools for microcap companies. Bradley, welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. So let's start off with a question of, you know, most people know, but just as a background, who is PR Newswire and Vintage Filings, and what does the companies do?
Well, certainly, PR Newswire and Vintage, what we do is we are shareholder communications, investor relations, and corporate compliance organization. We help public companies basically do two things in context to your audience here today is, number one, we help companies communicate to shareholders, to investors, and to the world through press releases and investor relations websites and other media. And also, we, the Vintage side, we help the companies meet their regulatory compliance, mostly with the SEC.
So, as you know, and as most of our audience knows as well, you know, companies are required by regulatory authorities to provide the public with specific current events, material changes, and compliance-oriented information. So explain, can you help me explain the business relationship public companies should have with their information service providers?
I think the simplest way to look at us is almost as a trusted advisor, as well as the actual group that facilitates the tactile filing and or distribution of the news and or the filing. We have a huge team of people here that will work with public companies to get their news and their filings out in a both timely and regulatory manner. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot of jargon. I'm not sure that's too much jargon, but we help companies communicate.
Don't worry, we're going to be getting into specifics very shortly. I'm just trying to, you know, we got to get the overview first, man, before we get.
So let me expand.
Sure.
What happens is specifically is companies will either have a news release that they want the world to know or that they have to have shareholders know, as well as they might have an SEC filing of some manner that they have to get legally regulatory filed with the SEC. We do that task for them. They send those that information, that material to us, and we prepare it to go on its next step of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's exactly what I was looking for. So what constitutes public information, or when is information public? And when the company sends it to PR Newswire, or when you say Yahoo Finance publishes it, is that when it's considered public? How does that work?
I think yes. What happens is think of us as we're like Cape Canaveral. Well, as I said the last bit, we do all the preparation of getting the company's material news or filings out properly. So if it's a news release, we make sure it's formatted correctly to go to all the different media channels, whether it's going to Yahoo Finance, who might want their news formatted electronically a certain way, or some other news and portals that might have other requirements for the way the news is delivered electronically. Mm-hmm. With the SEC, it's the same thing. The SEC has very specific rules on how things need to be formatted. And so companies will send us their filings, and we will format it in the proper manner and then get it out at a certain time to the SEC.
Okay.
And then same with news releases. News releases are always have a deadline. You know, please send it at X o'clock. We make sure that happens simultaneously. And then once it hits the wire, then it's public.
Yeah, because the main reason I wanted to do this interview with you today is that, you know, when it comes to doing any form of due diligence, both quantitative and qualitative, one of the things that we're doing is that we're looking up information on these public companies and what kind of information is that, or where is the information, how is it communicated? It's communicated via a press release, via an SEC filings. And being that you're one of the companies out there that does this for public companies, I thought it'd be interesting to discuss, you know, what are these various documents that companies have to put out there, you know? So do you think you could give us a brief definition on what are press releases? What is XBRL tagging and filing, SEC filings, EDGAR filings, and CEDAR filings? But let's go one by one. So let's start with press releases, and then we'll go from there.
Well, actually, let me, let me go backwards from that thought, and let me describe what regulatory files are, and I think that's a better way to go, for my brain anyway. EDGAR filing and CDER filings, basically what those are, that's the contractually agreed information that a public company has with the SEC that they will share with their shareholders. So it's quite the simplest thing. Think of it as it's very strict, it's financial, and it's required by the SEC. So that's what EDGAR files are. So you can think of the quarterly earnings reports, the annual report, something called an 8K, which is if a company has any news during the year that they feel is material, as in material meaning it can move the market, then they have to file an SEC filing as well. So the EDGAR filings and CDER filings are very specifically, it's almost, think of it is what the company is contractually obligated to put into the public. And then from that, we'll talk about news releases. News releases can be the same information as an EDGAR, but often, as we all read news releases, there's often a bit more story into the news releases.
It's funny that you say that, because we publish, we've cover over 1,000 companies on the website, and every morning we have, we syndicate out the news releases that go out. And it's funny, sometimes on StockTwits we'll get a message from a user saying, they filed that in their 8K last week. So that brought up an interesting question. In my mind, it's saying, well, why would they put out an 8K first? Well, what's the difference really? You kind of went through it, but why would a company not just put out the news release at the same time as an 8K if they're materially very similar?
That's going to be up to the public companies, their own strategy. I can't speak to that specifically.
Well, just for shits and giggles, let's why would they do that?
Obviously, this is not a this is a family. This is not a family show.
Oh, no.
Well, 8Ks. That's specifically about 8Ks. 8Ks. I often kind of call them the CYA filing, where if a company says something or is releasing news that's between the quarterly periods, and it's news that's important, they use an 8K. They have 3 weeks. I believe it's 3 weeks. No, it's not that long. Well, it's there's a certain amount of time after something happens that they have to file these 8Ks.
Mm-hmm.
The reason a company may not file a press release or do it later is maybe they don't want the full world. Well, I guess negatively, maybe they don't want the whole world to know why that 8K was filed. Let's example might be it's a very simple example. A public, one of the executives says something he shouldn't say at an investor conference. He's at some conference you guys are at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. He's being interviewed at one of the conferences, and he says something new that is not released before. We're going to have a really good quarter, when previously they had said, the quarter's going to stink. Well, that's obviously material news. So what they have to do is file an 8K, and that goes into the SEC database, and it protects them from liability of disclosure, of selective disclosure. It also gets the material out to investors who are following that company, because they're going to be following the SEC filings anyway.
Mm.
Why they may not do a press release? Maybe that particular CEO makes a lot of goofs, and they just don't want to emphasize that into the news database. Does that make sense?
Totally. That's actually a great reason, great example.
I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not an IR officer, so I do want that caveat that every company has its own strategy to why they do and don't things. But they want to make sure, no matter what, the companies always want to make sure they're being compliant.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, and as we say to all public companies here as well, especially when we're doing our interviews, we always say, we don't want to ask you any questions unless it's publicly been announced or you've already discussed it, So if they do bring that up, I mean, that's on them. They got to make sure that they're staying within compliance. And basically, at the end of the day, that's what your services are there to do, is helping these companies stay within compliance.
And sometimes the AK might have news in it that might be important news, but it's not media wise. For example, if you hire if a new member comes to the board, that can be disclosed in an 8K. But obviously, a press release about a new board member isn't going to do anything for anybody really, except cost the company some money for a press release.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it seems like the 8K is the more cost-effective approach to announcing a new material event as opposed to making it a huge press release that gets picked up everywhere.
But don't equate the two as doing the same thing by any means.
Right, exactly. No. Gotcha. All right, so let's talk about the difference between press releases and SEC filings. You know, what are the differences there?
Well, we forgot one thing on your above question.
Oh.
Oh,
and I would love to cover that. Let's get a description of that.
All right, XBRL is a computer. It's computer code that sits behind the earnings numbers. Is the simplest way to describe it. And why it's important is this: if you're looking at a spreadsheet, we all look at spreadsheets, an Excel spreadsheet, and we have a column. We have a row that says cash flow, right? And in that row, there's a number. Let's just say it's $100, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I send you that spreadsheet, and you see that, and you go, "Oh, $100 cash flow." Now you're gonna do some of your financial modeling with that. You're gonna take the $100, you're cut and paste it into your model. There's that. But if you delete that word cash flow from that row, that $100 is just this random number on a spreadsheet. Understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's two dimensional. Is how I'll describe it. What XBRL does is XBRL is like putting on a pair of 3D glasses. Now you've got cash flow, the row says cash flow, it's $100, but the computer code now called XBRL has tagged that $100 with this is Bobby's cash flow. So no matter what happens, wherever that $100 goes, it's like self-aware. It always knows it's your cash flow. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So now what can happen is that 100 can go into all kinds of databases everywhere, Bloomberg and Thompson and all kinds of financial modeling systems that can read this code, so it'll always know Bobby's cash flow is $100. And then what can happen is it can also instantly pull in $100 from other companies instantly to compare your $100 to everyone else's cash flow. That makes sense?
So basically, like, for instance, like on Yahoo Finance, if you clicked on the profile of a company and they have their most recent metrics or their most recent key statistics, I think they call it. You know, are you saying like that's where they pull the information from, is when they file their XBRL filings?
In a perfect world, yes. A lot of portals aren't using it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But in a perfect world, that's what they would do. Rather than just cut and pasting from a spreadsheet, they'll get a data feed. They'll get computer code that fills in all those numbers.
Okay.
So then the perfect world is this: the company files their earnings, their Q, to the SEC in XBRL. Now the SEC is this single resource for all that for that data. So everyone in the world would then go to the SEC to get your cash flow $100. So it can't be altered, it can't be misinterpreted, it can't be edited. You know, it's the absolute resource for your number. And so that's good, obviously, for data purposes, but it's also good for you, the public company, because now you put that number there, so you know that that number is your number. So no matter what happens, you know it's right. So no matter where it goes, it's always going to be correct.
Mm. Got it. So we actually missed two more on that question. And so firstly, let's talk about CEDR filings is the Canadian version of Edgar, if I'm not mistaken. And then also a description of press releases itself.
Correctly, CEDR filings. I'll leave my, that's not my expertise having an understanding of the filings like I do here in the U.S. But yeah, it's Canada's equivalent.
Mm-hmm. And then press releases.
Well, press releases are, I think we know what news releases are, right? That's mm-hmm. that's sometimes they're driven by regulatory purposes, to disclose material information, and sometimes it's just because a company has a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for your audience of microcap companies and investors, press releases are pretty important because most microcap companies are what we call story stocks. And so this will be the companies, this is where the companies should be telling their story, you know, every month, every whatever schedule, and when they have the news.
Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between a press or news release with an SEC filing, for instance?
Press releases have a lot more color. How about that? Press releases are both regulatory devices, but they tend to have more color.
Mm.
You know, where most filings tend to be a bit drier, less color.
Yeah, because usually, like in my past interviews, when I've talked with different microcap investors and different groups, you know, just for getting Wall Street views on our website, you know, they all say, you know, yeah, we read the press releases, that's important, you know, but when we really go to get the true actual story of the company, you know, that's when we go and read the filings. And as you said, they're a little bit drier, you know, they're more, you know, there's more of a template-y type language to it, you know, so that to me was the main difference. And you kind of hit the same thing, is basically, you know, you go to the press release to read what's been happening recently with the company, you know, they're giving their PR spin about what's been going on. But then if you really want to get to the nitty gritty of what's happening, you go to the SEC filing and see, okay, that's boom, 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 boom. Okay, that's what's going on, right?
I guess so. I prefer not using the word spin ever with our audiences, but I think the point is the SEC documents tend to document what has happened,
right?
And press releases are more what we want to do. How's that for a better answer, maybe?
No, this is a discussion. You know, I think it's a concept. You know, there's many definitions to a concept, and I think with regard to this, you know, there's many different, and it's not just the definition of it. It's more of, well, how do people utilize these tools to communicate their messages? You know, so
that's a good point. And also, it's important to understand that companies can't adjust, they can't direct where their SEC filing goes. So if you do have, you know, you have news, or even, you know, past history that you really want to make sure people see, you'd use a press release, right? You can't take an SEC filing and target it at a certain sector, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's, where with us, you've got a press release, you're a life science company, and you've got some great news coming out, or you just released some great news, right? Something great happened. You might be filing an 8-K, but you also want to make sure you put that news release, that great story, in front of the noses of analysts that cover life sciences. A press release will do that.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Okay, so on to my next question. And we kind of covered it already, but I think it's an important thing to keep discussing with regard to, you know, why do all public companies, including microcaps, you know, have to disseminate, report, and distribute their information and press releases? Why are they doing this? Why do they have to do this?
Well, they don't have to be the short answer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have to do SEC filings if they're, you know, microcaps, let's assume we're talking about reporting companies. They have to do SEC filings. They don't have to do press releases. What they have to do is make sure that any story they tell, whether it's results or what they want to have happen, they have to make sure it's simultaneous. That's the really only have to in the world here. And obviously, it's not best practice not to send out press releases if you try to grow your company, right? It's just that's more of a marketing lesson than anything else.
Right.
But with Regulation FD, you know, press releases allow companies to tell the story as well as make sure they're not telling it selectively.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And also, so as a microcap investor, why should we pay attention to all these documents, especially with regard to SEC and CEDAR filings and EDGAR filings? Because there are microcaps that don't, like you say, they don't put out a lot of press releases, you know, so why should we pay attention to these?
I think what I'll say to that is that the filings they're obligated to send the filings, of course, and the press releases, that's just good marketing. But if a company, so from a microcap point of view, story is these small companies, most of them don't have any analysts covering them, so who is telling the story? So microcap companies use these tools, press releases, and the filings to tell their story themselves in their own voice, right? So as an investor, you'll know that you can go to the company's IR website, and they better have one of those as well, by the way. Go to the company's IR website, find their news releases, find their SEC filings, and then you as an investor know that this is right from the company. You know, I think we're all very aware within the microcap area, there's a lot of bad actors about. And so, and there's a lot of news and newsletters that may not be from the company. It could just simply be pump and dumpers trying to game one another, even at the expense of the company. So no matter what happens, the press releases and the SEC documents are from the company. That's your verification as an investor. You know, is this really, you know, I just got my newsletter saying XYZ is going to happen at this biopharm company. Go to the company's press release. Go to the company's website and see what the company is saying. Or is it just an unethical promoter?
Mm-hmm. So, like, basically, you can use these tools to verify what's actually happening in the company, so to speak.
To verify the company is saying what the news you're reading. I mean, in this case, it's very much like what your interviews you guys do. You're talking right to the CEO.
Right.
So you know that CEO is saying these things to Shelley, right? This is what's happening. It's not some analyst. Well, not analyst. It's not some investor who is saying these things. It's not some. It could be an analyst, but it's coming right from the CEO. Same with the press releases. Same with the SEC documents. Verified right from the company.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you probably support the notion that, you know, as an investor, when you're doing your due diligence, it's really important to access these documents and engage with them, and especially come up with some questions based on what you read, so that when you follow up with the CEO to, you know, just say, ask what's going on in the company, you know, you want to refer to these documents. And on that note, you know, before the internet, how did investors or anyone for that matter access this information?
Before the internet, what's that?
You tell me, man. I'm the millennial here.
Obviously, it was hard copy. And so before the internet, to get SEC filings, you would have to request them. A, you could request them from the SEC. B, the companies were actually obligated, even as late as the early 90s, the companies were obligated to mail out hard copies of their quarterly reports to all their shareholders. And so the internet obviously eliminated that need. But one area where print still is important, certainly, and we deal with every year, is annual reports. They're still coveted to be a printed document. People tend to refer those all year round. They put them on the shelves. And then, obviously, stock prices were in the newspapers. And they moved a lot slower.
You know, it's interesting. It brings up, the last interview I did was with OTC Markets, and I asked him the very same question. I was like, you know, how did they used to do it when, you know, in the 90s and even before then when it came to over-the-counter pink sheet stocks? And he said, you know, it wasn't until like the early 2000s when everything started going digital that we had to create a digital platform for over-the-counter stocks. It almost seems very similar to what PR Newswire and the Vintage Group had to do when this new information technology started coming into play, right?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. I mean, like PR Newswire started, it was all, you know, it was newswires. You know, like you see them on old movies with the typewriter going across there and it's coming through who knows what kind of wires. You know, exactly right.
Okay, so now one thing that's very important. Okay, so now we have a good definition of what our press releases, SEC filings, EDGAR, XBRL, you know, all this information that these public companies use. Now, my question is, because a lot of investors, you know, let's say they've been following this one company and they're like, they're just waiting for that news or that SEC filing, you know, or they don't know whether or not they're going to get an alert or something of that nature. So this is a two-part question. One, how can investors get the most up-to-date news on the companies that they're following? By news, I mean one of the following: press releases, SEC filings, EDGAR, etc. And also, where can they find this information if they're just looking up companies on Yahoo Finance, for instance?
Well, I think my views are biased, but the company should have an IR website. And if they don't, you should question them on that. You should also question the company itself as a viable group. And so if they do have a website, as they should have, an IR website, they all have email alert boxes where you can sign in and say, please send me news releases, please send me SEC filings as they happen. I would do that. That would be a number one thing to do. Number two is, I believe all the portals, Yahoo, Google, et cetera, have these alert functions that you can set up for tickers and such. And certainly with a microcap audience, I'm assuming they're all doing trading in some sort of platform of some sort. And I'm going to guess, I don't use those platforms myself, I'm going to guess these platforms have similar alert tools. You put a ticker in, you say, alert me when there's something happens. And then lastly, would be Twitter, of course. And you could work in Twitter and or StockTwits, but most microcap companies aren't in StockTwits. But if you're working in Twitter, what you want to do is you can go to Twitter and do a search and set up an alert in Twitter. And what you need to do there, though, to make sure you're getting the information and as well as opinion from other traders, day traders and such, would be the dollar sign and then the company's ticker. And that's how people search in Twitter for stock information. I'm sure everyone's heard of hashtags. Well, we call these cash tags. Same thing. It's a filter system, but it's dollar sign ticker. You pop it in, search, and you'll see all the discussions about and all the news about a certain company.
Actually, Bradley, you probably noticed on our Twitter account, you know, on Stock News Now, whenever we put out a new microcap news alert, we're big users of the cash tag. You know, that's the main way.
Again, that's I don't know how social media friendly your audience is or not. But I always make sure people know that.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I mean, one thing. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of finding this information on social media. I mean, you know, you can see I'm a big user of StockTwits, Twitter, even Facebook. You know, Facebook we use the cash tag too, but it's not as accepted yet, I think, as you use it on Twitter and StockTwits right now.
And you won't find the public companies issuing their news on Facebook.
No.
And barely even in Twitter and such. This mostly you're going to find opinion. So if you're looking for that company verified information, IR website, email alerts, as well as Google alerts or Yahoo alerts, etc.
Yeah. And one last question, Bradley.
Yeah.
What's your background?
My background? My background is in this niche. I started in the year 2000 at a company called Shareholder.com, who was a shareholder communications organization. We built IR websites. We mostly generated the whole industry of IR websites. So that's how I came to this niche. Otherwise, I'm a marketing type dude.
And you can definitely find, if you see Bradley on Facebook, or sorry, not Facebook, but on Twitter and LinkedIn, he's a very active user. I know I read a lot of your stuff.
Yep, and if you're interested in the topics, my blog is pretty well read for public companies and security lawyers like it. And the blog is irblog.prnewswire.com.
All right, you heard it here, folks.
That'll just give your audience the kind of topics that public companies think about when they're trying to communicate transparently and honestly.
Mm-hmm. And also, well, on that topic too, what is your Twitter account? Where can people go and follow you?
At BH Smith.
All right. Bradley, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciated the conversation today.
All right, my pleasure. Anytime.
All righty. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all for tuning in to the Planet Microcap podcast, and thank you, Bradley, again for coming on to the program. You can access the podcast by going on to stocknewsnow.com under podcast, go to podbean.com and search Planet Microcap podcast, or on iTunes and search Planet Microcap podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Planet Microcap podcast, where we'll have our next week in review and have another exciting guest to discuss all things microcap. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, please send me an email at info@stocknewsnow.com. I'd love to hear from all of you. This podcast has been brought to you by SNN Incorporated, publishers of stocknewsnow.com, the official microcap news source, and the Microcap Review magazine. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you again for joining me on the Planet Microcap podcast. Have a great week, everyone.